It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years this evening and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Central Time and at 6 p.m. Eastern Time right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And today is Sunday, March the 19th, and we are back live from beautiful Austin, Texas, where South by Southwest Music Festival is happening right now as we speak, and people have come from all over the country and all over the world to perform and to hear the music. So there's a lot of hubbub going on here in Austin, Texas. We're a little bit away from it today, staying out of the crowd. And we have another great program for you, and Art Mendoza is here from Accomplished Entertainment, producer of this program, and he's going to make the show run. A great program, as usual. Joining us after the break, in just a few moments, once again from Westchester, New York, certified integral yoga instructor and occupational therapist, Dara Steinberg, will be here to talk about energy medicine, what it is, and some tips for emotional well-being, especially for the highly sensitive, highly empathic person. So she'll talk about how we can protect ourselves from being drained by the pain of others when we're very compassionate people, so that we can get more and still have something left for our own happiness and health. So that should be discussion. Later on in the program, we have video editor and singer Priscilla West, who will be joining us from the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and she's a great singer. Enjoy hearing a little bit of that. And Laura Galazunas will be back to report in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, letting us know about all of the activity going on there for retirees. And I will be talking about one of my favorite topics, humor, and how humor is important for healing, and some of my own recent experiences with that. This evening's program, we will have time for your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me during the program, and I will read them on air to my guests. But make sure that you send those guests who are still on air so I can ask them the questions. And my email address is Dr. Mara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. And you can hear this evening's program again later by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com. And the link to the podcast, along with any website links that my guests talk about on the program, will be posted later tonight or early tomorrow morning. And you can also hear shows on my website and find out about future shows and read my blogs in thriveglobal.com and huffingtonpost.com and many other things. So check out my website. And you can also hear the podcast of this program in as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Talk Radio, that's BLOG. talkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And you can also, again, hear all the previous shows, all the podcasts, to the previous shows and find out about upcoming shows right there at blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for all of the latest news and up-to-the-date information about what's happening with this program, with my upcoming book, and with my blogs in thriveglobal.com and Huffington Post, follow me on Facebook, and that's Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years, DrMaraKarpel, Your Golden Years. Okay, so this is the first time. Let me talk about that. I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City, practicing here in Austin, Texas, and in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas. And I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and with caregivers. And for the past few years, have also been evaluating veterans for PTSD. And part of the time, my office is in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is located in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this really great resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. And if you want to contact me at any point in the future, if you have a question for me or information that you want to send me, you can email me at drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com. You can contact me through my website, or you can call me at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lake, call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at drdevere@austin.com. And his book is also available on Amazon. And this evening's program is also sponsored by StoryHouse. StoryHouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have StoryHouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. StoryHouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. Okay, we're going to take a brief break, play a couple of our sponsors' commercials, and when we come back, Dara Steinberg will be joining us from Westchester, New York, to talk about energy medicine and some tips for emotional well-being. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Karpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's Disease and Memory Disorders Center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmarakarpel.com.
And we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in Your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from Westchester, New York, she's been on the program twice before. We have certified integral yoga instructor and occupational therapist, Sarah Steinberg, joining us to talk about energy medicine and tips for emotional well-being, particularly for those of us who are highly sensitive. Welcome back, Sarah.
Hi, Mara. Thank you so much for having me here. It's really nice
Thank
to be back.
Yes, great to have you back on the program. And I just want to remind you, just so in case you forgot, there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yes. So, Dara, before we talk about energy medicine, why don't you talk a little bit about your background?
Okay, so I was an occupational therapist for about 7 years, and I also worked as a yoga teacher. I actually lived and worked at a yoga ashram in Virginia for about 2.5 years. I worked in the teacher training department, and when I became an occupational therapist, I spent a lot of time actually working in pediatrics. And I worked in hospitals, and I worked in school settings. And what I found was happening to me was I would come home from work, and I would be emotionally and physically exhausted. So I would come home every day from work, and I would feel like my energy had been zapped, and I didn't understand why. I was eating well. I was doing my yoga, I was doing my exercises, you know, so I was a pretty healthy person. And I also, my emotions were kind of all over the place. I would be feeling fine, and then suddenly I wouldn't. I would be, it was hard for me to stay in balance.
Mm-hmm.
I also kept feeling as though there was more to life than this, if you will. There was more that I wanted to be doing, but I didn't know what it was. I was a little bit confused as to what I really should be doing with my life. I didn't feel like I was, as much as I was helping people in my day-to-day, I didn't feel like I was quite reaching people in the way that would have been meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I actually wound up going to an energy healer. And she helped me tremendously to really learn about myself, to understand what was going on in my physical body, in my emotions, and in my energy field. And it really changed my life. And so I started training under her, and I've also worked with a few other energy healers to learn my own craft and to start doing energy healing with other people. So, like I was saying to you on the telephone the other day when we were discussing what we were going to talk about today, I see
mm-hmm.
that there are a lot of people out in the world that are a lot like me, some who consider themselves to be spiritual or maybe have had some yoga background, and some who have never had any desire to be particularly spiritual or who haven't had a yoga background, who are walking through their lives kind of having a sense that they can kind of sense things about people. You know, they can sense other people's emotions sometimes. Sometimes they feel other people's emotions. They worry about other people. And one of my goals is to really try to help people understand how energy healing can really help you to get very clear about your life path, to help you to feel better both emotionally and physically and energetically, and to really be able to utilize the practices in your daily life. It doesn't have to be something that's scary or that is, if you will, woo-woo, you know. It can be something that you can really use in your everyday life. It's very functional.
Who are not familiar with energy healing or medicine, or just think it's something that does you move? What is energy medicine?
So, energy healing is or energy medicine is a belief that we, I'm going to talk about it in a couple of different ways. It's a belief that we have the ability to alter the way that our physical body, that our emotions are kind of functioning by basically using our energy fields to make changes. It's sort of like changing things from the inside out. The way that we tend to look at things in the West is that we have very little control over our emotions. We have very little control over our physical bodies. However, I will say that science is starting to look more and more at things like yoga and meditation. And I'm sure, as you know, Mara, being a psychologist yourself, you know, looking at ways that we actually can alter the way that we feel using breathing practices, changing the way that we're thinking about things, doing meditation. So with energy healing, there is a belief that we each have an energy field, and that sometimes what can happen is there can be a block in the energy field. You want your energy to kind of be flowing like a stream. So if you imagine a nice, clear stream, the water would be clear. There wouldn't be any blockages. Mm-hmm. Now imagine if you had a beaver dam in the middle of that stream. The stream wouldn't be able to flow very well. There would, the waters would get muddy. And so the idea of energy healing is to use your energy field to help you to move things through your system on a regular basis, and to be able to use your energy to have an effect on your emotional state and also have an effect on your physical state. I hope that was a clear enough explanation.
And, you know, I think we're going to talk a little bit about specific techniques so people can care of what it really entails, right? So before we do that, how can energy healing be particularly helpful?
I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing you, Mara. You're cutting out a little bit, cutting in and out.
Okay, thanks for telling me. Let's try this. Can you hear me better?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, sometimes we have a little bit of a difficulty with our internet. So you have to play around
a
little bit.
Better now.
Okay, good. Okay, hold on. All right, so.
Yes.
Okay, good. So the question that I had is, how can energy medicine or energy healing be particularly helpful for that type of person that you were just describing, like yourself, like myself, like many, many people out there who are very sensitive to the emotions of other people?
Yeah, so my friend and colleague, Sarah Entrup, I love the way that she describes the process of energy healing. It's like she often says that, we learn how to brush our teeth and we learn how to clean our bodies, but we don't learn how to clear our energy system. So what happens to those of us that are what I would call either highly sensitive, people who might be empathic, so people who are kind of often feel the emotions of other people, people who feel like they might be a little bit intuitive, we have a tendency to pick up on the energy of the people that are around us. And we tend to put their energy in our energetic field, into our energetic space, and we hold it there. We don't realize that we're doing it. I would call it unconscious. It's an unconscious thing that we're doing. And what winds up happening is that we can get very, it can make us feel sick. It can make us feel tired. We can get confused because we're kind of feeling other people's emotions in our bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are some very simple practices that you can start to do to start to move some of that energy out of your space and kind of become like that flowing stream that I was talking about before.
Okay. So what are some of the... Yes, that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you did describe a technique the other day on the telephone to me, and I think that was the same technique that you taught in your class where I met you. And my friend who was with me at that class had an experience with that. So I'm going to, after you describe it, I'm going to tell you about her experience. But
okay.
I also want to mention to you that the other day when you called, I was having one of those days where I was very drained from energy of other people and had just also found out that a friend of mine had passed away. And I've been using that technique that you described on the phone that you're going to talk about right now since then, and it was dramatic in how I felt after using it, especially that day.
Oh, that's wonderful. Okay.
Yeah. So
I'm really glad to hear that. But I'm sorry to hear that. I'm sorry to hear that you had a friend that passed. And I know that the kind of work that you do, you work with people who are going through very difficult times. And very often, those of us that are empathic or intuitive or sensitive, we tend to go into professions where we can help other people. But then what often happens is we wind up getting overwhelmed by everything that we're taking on as we go through our days. So very often mm-hmm. people will ask me, what can I do to prevent myself from taking on other people's energy? And then what can I do afterward? What can I do if I have taken on other people's energy? So I wanted to talk a little bit about both of those things.
Yeah, please.
I have some meditations that I definitely would like to share with your audience. I wasn't sure if you wanted me to go through a meditation here live. What do you think?
Well,
or do you want me to just
maybe if you could describe the technique.
Okay.
Yeah, that way we don't run out of time in the middle of a meditation. I don't want to do that.
Absolutely, no problem. When you are about to go to work, when you're about to go out into the world, it can be really good to have a little bit of what I would call a shield or just a little bit of protection. And it's not the idea that the world is icky or that, you know, the world is dangerous. It's more just this sense that you don't have to take on other people's energy in order to help them. You don't have to, and in fact, if you do take on other people's energy, it often doesn't help them, and then it often winds up causing you the problems that we were talking about before. So sometimes I recommend that you create a shield in front of you as you go through your day, and you can do this in a couple of different ways. I like to imagine something like a sacred container. And, you know, some people really enjoy visualizations and some people really don't. So I try to explain it in many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
But a sacred container can be something even like a flower, like a rose. It could be, you can imagine it almost like a beautiful bowl if you wanted to. Or you can imagine like a shield in front of you. It can kind of look however you would like it to. And you want to imagine that you're putting that up in front of you as you're about to go through your day so that anybody else's energy can kind of get collected in that container instead of going right into your body. And then at the end of the day, you can imagine that you're throwing that container up into the center of the universe and destroying it. And what that's doing is it's transforming all of the energy that's been collected, and then that energy can kind of go back to other people. It can go back to whoever was giving it out in the first place in a way that's kind of been transformed. Mm-hmm. So that's what I like to do when I'm about to go into a situation where I know there's going to be a lot of other people. But, you know, very often, sometimes you wind up taking on stuff anyway, you know, and that's okay. The idea isn't to be in this place of perfection or in this place of total clarity all the time. The idea is to have the tools and be able to use them whenever you need them. So mm-hmm. at the end of the day, sometimes what I like to do is do a very simple meditation where I imagine a container very similar to the one I was just talking about. But this time what I'm having it do is to pull the energy out of my space. So I set an intention that anything that is not mine, anything that is no longer serving me, can be released into this container. And sometimes I like to imagine the energy inside of my body as a color. Sometimes you know, if you're not into the visualization piece, you can imagine it as a feeling. And you can kind of mm-hmm. say, well, where is it in my body? Is it in my stomach? Is it in my head? And you imagine that this sacred container is pulling it out, and you can feel it too. And then you do the same thing. You throw it up into the center of the universe, and you destroy it.
Okay.
So that's a very okay. technique. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I wanted to tell you that my friend who had come to the workshop, she's been using that with the visualization of the rose. And she said that last week she was feeling really agitated, or last month she was feeling really agitated and consumed with other people's energies. And when she used this technique, she felt like it was almost like a spiritual experience. And she wanted to know if that was really common.
Yeah, I really think so, because what I think might be happening with her and what happens with a lot of us is that when we are full of other people's energy, we lose connection with our higher self. And very often we've forgotten what that connection with our higher self feels like. So if you've been walking around your whole life without ever having done this kind of energy clearing technique, you kind of forget what it's like to communicate with your higher self. When you're able to kind of move these energies out of your space and really be in your own space without other people's energy, you're so much more able to connect to your higher self. And that is absolutely a spiritual experience. And it mm-hmm. can feel like coming home. It can feel very comforting. Sometimes you can even receive messages. You can ask for messages. You can ask for clarity. So when you move, the beauty of energy healing is becoming more of who you are, is being able to express exactly who you are right now without anybody else's stuff blocking you from being able to do that. So I would absolutely say that it can be a very spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know what makes me feel like coming home is that the other part of the technique that you, when you were describing it to me, which is the part where you imagine yourself as rooted to the center of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I always, and you'll see, you know, if you do my meditations, I always start with having people do what's called grounding, where you imagine that you are growing roots into the center of the earth. And one of the things that that really allows us to do is to start to release quite a bit. It really allows us to relax and allows our bodies to heal a little bit by connecting into the earth. And that is also a really good thing to do before you go to work in the morning, really before you do anything, is to really connect with that feeling of grounding into the earth. And then at the end of the meditation, I always do a visualization of a golden sun. And, you know, you can visualize a golden sun or you can feel the sun. You can imagine feeling that there's a sun above you and you're filling it with anything that really you would like to have more of in your life. It could be more love. It could be abundance. It could be clarity. And then you imagine that you're popping that golden sun and either visualizing or feeling that that golden light is filling you from the very top of your head all the way down to the bottoms of your feet.
Mm.
Yeah. Very powerful.
I like that. Yeah. I like that. Yeah.
Because whenever
whenever
you release something, you always want to make sure that you're filling very consciously. Mm-hmm. So we're releasing unconscious energy, and then we're filling ourselves consciously with what we want.
Right, right. Yeah, and for people who have never tried this, I can say that it really, I can feel it like immediately when I do these kind of things.
You can learn to do them so quickly. You know, it's something where you literally can be, you know, walk. Sometimes I do it when I'm walking from place to place. You know, I check in with my grounding. I fill with a golden sun. It doesn't have to be hard. Yeah.
Mhm. Mhm. So, are there any other tips that you can recommend for preventing the type of agitation that Nicole was describing? Are there things that we can do, just habits that we can have to keep us from becoming so overwhelmed?
Yeah, I would say that another thing that you can do is if you know that you're going to be having a conversation with somebody who is really, really struggling, with somebody that you really care about, or, you know, we all have those people in our lives, especially when we are sensitive and intuitive and empathic. We all have people in our lives who have a lot of struggles. And very often what will happen is when they talk to you, you take on a lot of their energy. So instead of allowing that energy to go into your energy field, you can imagine putting up that sacred container in between the two of you and allowing her energy to go into that container instead of going into your body. And it can still be a very loving thing. You know, you can still be totally listening to that person and totally being there for that person, but then you're not going to have that kind of energy hangover that happens where you get off the phone and you can't stop thinking about them and you worry about them and you can feel agitated for them, because that is a sign that you have taken on some of their energy. And then once the conversation is over, you can send that sacred container into the universe and destroy it.
Mm-hmm. I like
and you're
that.
Allowing that energy to go back to her in a transformed way. So it's actually a much more healing way to have a conversation with somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So Dara, I know that you're teaching a lot of online classes and doing consultations. Can you talk a little bit about that? If anybody's interested in that kind of work?
Yeah. So I am working with people. I have clients who come to see me one-to-one. So people who are interested in learning how to work with their energy field, people who are professionals. Sometimes I work with, you know, professional women who are in jobs where they're working a lot with other people and they wind up feeling drains on a regular basis. Or people who decide that maybe they want to switch careers, but they're not really sure what they want to do next. I can really help people learn how to use all of these tools that I use on a regular basis to really get clear and feel energized and know what the next steps are that they want to take in their lives. So I'm always offering that kind of one-to-one mentoring. And I'm in the process of creating an online course at the moment where I'm also teaching people who are naturally intuitive or naturally empathic how to use energy healing and how to use their natural intuitive abilities to be able to really improve their lives, to be able to improve their businesses, and to be able to improve their personal lives. And the way that people can find me is I have a website, which is Dara, T as in Thomas, Steinberg.com. And on my website, there's a way for you to be able to access 3 free energy clearing meditations very simply. And you can also request a consultation if you're interested in the possibility of doing more one-to-one work. And then as I develop my online courses, I'll definitely have information about that on the website as well.
Great. So it's DaraTSteinberg.com.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So I will be posting that on my web post about this program later tonight or early tomorrow morning. So if anybody missed that, they could just go there and click on the link.
Fantastic. Right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to be on your fantastic show. I really appreciate it. It's always nice to chat with you.
Yes, very nice chatting with you and really interesting stuff. And thank you for teaching me some of those techniques to help me.
You found them helpful. It's wonderful.
Yes, yes. So you take care, and I would love to have you back on the program sometime to talk about it when you get these classes together, when they're all developed.
I will definitely let you know. Thank you so much, and thank you so much to all of your listeners, and everybody have a wonderful evening.
You too. You have a good evening, and we'll be talking soon.
Okay. Bye.
Good night. Okay, so we're going to take a brief break, and we have lots more to come, so don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are 3 easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Please visit us on the web at www.drmaricarpel.com.
Okay, we are back. And if you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmaricarpel.com. And before I go on to talk about humor, just a little bit of news. As if you've been listening to my program or if you follow me on Facebook, then you know that I'm a regular contributor now to Arianna Huffington's new online magazine, ThriveGlobal.com. And 6 of my blogs have recently been published there, with the latest 2 blogs published on the same day, just a little over a week ago. They were republications from when I had posted them in Huffington Post in honor of Women's History Month. And it was a 2-part blog, Women in Power, Finding Our Voice No Matter Our Age. So you can check out those blogs on my website, drmaricarpel.com, and just click on blogs or click on publications, and all of my blogs from Thrive Global and from Huffington Post will be there. You can also go directly to thriveglobal.com and put a search in for my name, or you can go to huffingtonpost.com and do the same thing, and you'll get my blog that way. And also, I do recommend that you like my Facebook page, and that way you'll know every time I post a blog, and there'll be a link there directly to the blog. And also, my book is almost done, and I have put out 5 potential titles for you, my listeners, and anyone following me on social media to vote for the best title, the one that you like the best. If you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you'll find the potential titles. And I appreciate your help in making this important decision and in being part of the process of publishing my first book. So thank you ahead of time. And thank you to those of you who already have responded. And stay tuned. You know, follow me on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, because there will be more information about the upcoming book previews, and also this, stay tuned for future books. This is one of several. And also stay connected for other news. There are more pieces of news that you might be interested in coming your way soon. So I will keep you apprised when I can tell you that news, when those pieces of news are. Okay. So I'm dedicating this segment to my friend, Dr. Lee Montgomery, who, as I mentioned in my discussion with Dara, Lee passed away this past Thursday. And Lee taught me about bravery in the face of the most extreme adversity and had a laugh through it. She and I had many laughs together over the 14 years that I knew her. Lee was my first close friend when I moved to Austin, Texas. She was the first friend that I became close with in Austin. And I knew that we would be friends for a long time because we shared a similar sense of humor. She loved to laugh so much that when I visited her a little over a week ago while she was in hospice, we laughed together and had a really good belly laugh together. We were laughing because I mentioned that where she was located at that point was right across the street from where we had worked together when we first met. And I reminded her that people were often jealous of us because they thought that we had inside jokes because we were always laughing around each other. But there was no inside joke. It was just that we both loved to laugh and we found the same things to be funny, and other people just didn't get our sense of humor. And she told me on that day, a little over a week ago, that her goal was to laugh as much as possible at that point. And it felt really good to laugh together. And now when I feel sad and when I miss her, I think about the times that we spent laughing together and some of the things that we found really funny to be going on at those times. And it really helps. And so, so as I said, I'm dedicating this discussion of the power of humor to her, to Lee Montgomery, because one of the most powerful ways of adjusting our attitude and increasing our optimism about life, no matter what's going on, is by allowing ourselves to laugh even through the tears. Humor has a way of interfering with that downward spiral of those energy-zapping thoughts and focus on the negative that's happening around us. And it helps us to notice the absurdity of situations that we may feel angry about or feel threatened by. Laughing creates positive emotions. As I said, even while I was standing in the room with her, while she was obviously not going to be around for much longer, we both felt joy and amusement and hope and confidence and an overall feeling of well-being. It took that heaviness out of the moment. So in the short term, you know, no matter what's going on, I mean, that's the most extreme example, I think. But there, we tend to get wrapped up in other stresses in our life that don't even compare to that particular type of situation, and we let it bring us down. But if we can laugh, it will help us to immediately have a different attitude and feel more joyful and be more optimistic. And in the short term, it actually stabilizes our blood pressure. It massages our inner organs. It stimulates circulation, improves our digestion, and decreases muscle tension. It also increases oxygen to our muscles. So that's pretty, you know, that's pretty good medicine. And in the longer term, laughter boosts the power of our immune system by reducing damaging stress hormones and also increasing those healing chemicals, brain chemicals, endorphins that actually have a healing effect on our body. So, you know, some of you may have heard of the editor, Norman Cousins, who wrote a book, Anatomy of an Illness, about how he had a very painful disorder called ankylosing spondylitis. And at that time, there really was no treatment for that. And there was no cure. But he treated himself through the use of laughter. And he would watch Marx Brothers movies and I believe Three Stooges movies. He had at that time they had the reel to reel projectors, so he got a reel to reel projector and the film strips of those movies, and he would watch them until he would laugh really hard, belly laughing till he cried, and he would do that for several hours a day, and he found that 20 minutes of belly laughter gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep. So if he laughed for a few hours a day, he would get a full night of sleep without pain. And after a while doing this regularly, making it a point to laugh every day to this level, he went to the doctor and they couldn't find any sign of this disease. And the doctors were scratching their heads. They had no idea how this could have, this disease that had no cure, had remitted. And at that point, that's when doctors started to take it seriously that laughter is the best medicine. And there's been a lot of research on the benefits, the physical benefits of laughter, as well as the emotional benefits of laughter. And there's a journal, I believe it's called, I can't tell you what it's called. It's something about nursing and laughter. It's a journal for nurses, and it's all focused on humor and the benefits of humor and how to create laughter, even in obviously situations where health is not very good. If you're dealing with nurses, a lot of them are working in hospitals or in nursing homes and home care with people who are sick. So added bonuses of humor and of laughter is that it enhances creativity. So if we can laugh, it actually opens up that part of our brain that has to do with creativity. Because when we're feeling really down or stressed out, we become very closed. And that our creativity does not flow. And I think this kind of fits with what Dara was talking about in terms of energy medicine, having the energy flow through us. Well, you know, when we're depressed, the energy doesn't flow. It's blocked. So laughing tends to open it up and opens up the creativity. And it gives us the ability to stop overthinking. So a lot of times we make ourselves more and more upset and stressed out over situations because we think about them too much. And when we laugh, it actually disconnects that. It gets in the way of that overthinking pattern. It breaks that cycle. And laughter and humor can help to deepen relationships. Now, as I said, I knew I was going to be friends with my friend Lee for a long time because we shared a sense of humor and we laughed together. And that's really common. That's not an unusual thing, that if you laugh with someone, you tend to build a stronger relationship. And it tends to improve communication, and it brings joy into the relationship. I mean, what's the fun of a relationship that has no joy? A joyless relationship is not one that is really going to be long-lasting or satisfying. So laughter helps to inject joy into a relationship, even if there's stress, even if there's illness. Laughter is so powerful. And in terms, again, of the physical aspect of laughter, it actually detoxifies the body. So tears, and scientists have looked at this, when they looked at the makeup of tears from laughter versus tears that are produced from crying, from sadness, there's actually a different chemical makeup. And they found that the tears from laughter contained a lot more toxins. And that's actually a good thing. It means that these are toxins that are in our body, and the laughter actually released those toxins much better than the tears from sadness. They didn't have as many toxins in them. Not meaning that we don't have as many toxins in the body. They didn't draw out those toxins as easily. So so when we laugh until we cry, we're actually cleansing ourselves of these poisons that are in our body. And as I mentioned, laughter reduces physical pain. As I talked about with Norman Cousins, that actually I'm looking at my notes, and it's actually 10 minutes of laughter gave him 2 hours of pain-free sleep during his recovery. So not 20 minutes, 10 minutes. So that's pretty powerful. And as I mentioned, the laughter until we cry, laughing until we cry, releases endorphins. And endorphins not only boost our mood, but they decrease our pain. So they are the chemical that we want to produce as much as possible, and they're natural brain chemicals. They are mood elevators and pain relievers. And the medications that doctors give are synthetic versions of that, and they don't work as well. They tend to have side effects, as we know, and they just don't have that same power as the chemicals that our own body produces. So in order to get we have to stimulate production of those chemicals sometimes. And in order to stimulate production of endorphins, we can either exercise for an extended period of time. I believe it takes about 20 to 30 minutes of aerobic exercise to start producing endorphins. We can do deep relaxation for 20 to 30 minutes. Meditation, that sort of thing, or we can laugh. And laughing, I think if we laugh with a real belly laugh, it only takes about 10 minutes. And a belly laugh also achieves the benefits of an aerobic workout, because a belly laugh gives our diaphragm a workout, and it increases our body's ability to use oxygen. And believe it or not, it provides cardiac conditioning. So you can get some benefits of an aerobic workout just by making it a point to laugh with a real belly laugh. So I know that, you know, there are people who are in stressful situations, and, you know, there's a lot going on, and they're feeling really down or feeling really anxious, and they wonder, how is it possible to find humor when they're in the middle of such a stressful life circumstance? or if they're not feeling well. And what I have to say to you, you know, I just told you that story of my friend in hospice. We laughed, and it's at times like that that you need laughter and humor the most, for its unique power to brighten even the darkest situation. So it's really important to make it a point to laugh even when things are really dark. And you may have noticed that some of the funniest comedians, the ones that we laugh at the most, are the ones who talk about stressful situations that we can all relate to, even sad situations. When a comedian gives us a different perspective and turns it into an absurdity, we laugh even harder because we know that we need to release the tension around that situation in our own lives. You know, they know, comedians know how to get us to laugh, and they know that unconsciously we're relieved if somebody can turn a stressful situation on its head and turn it into something absurd and make us laugh. And we laugh even harder. So just a couple of tips to laugh every day, even when things are stressful. Number one, make it a point to laugh at yourself rather than criticizing yourself when you make mistakes. Look for absurdity when you're faced with an obstacle. So try to find something comical about it, or even in your own mind, blow it up to such an absurd level that it actually makes you laugh. Or something more passive, like watching a funny video. Like I said, Norman Cousins watched movies, the Marx Brothers and the Three Stooges, and that made him laugh. So that's really powerful. You don't have to do very much. Just turn on something that you know makes you laugh, or read a funny book, or laugh with friends. That's even more powerful. As I mentioned, that increases that a closer relationship with someone. So telling funny stories with friends, or even just, if you can't get yourself to laugh at those kind of things, just listening to the laughter of other people will make you laugh. And I've mentioned this before, that there are laugh tracks and apps that you can get on your smartphone, believe it or not, that have laughter. And listening to other people's laughter will make you laugh. After a while, you can't help but laugh. There's a type of yoga called laughter yoga where people get together. This is yoga, where they get together and they force themselves to laugh. They just make believe that they're laughing until it turns into real laughter. And doing that with other people tends to be contagious, and everybody starts to really laugh. And that's the yoga. They spend, I don't know how many minutes, 45 minutes, just laughing together. So, all right. So make it a point to laugh. And at that, on that note, we're gonna move on. Laura Gelizunas is gonna join us in a couple of moments after this short break to tell us what's happening in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, paradise for retirees. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Flying so high now, shows a man where to fish. Watch Vicente, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Yeah.
Hear the thunder high in that mountain. Watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that shoreline, making plans for that kiss. And they know how to kiss. They say that we're 1 hour behind. But the senoritas, they keep us in time. That part BCT just blows through my mind. It takes me back to my place. Punta Mita time.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years here on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us from Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, the retirement paradise, Laura Gelazunas. Laura, can you hear me?
Hey, how are you tonight?
I'm okay. I was just wondering if you can hear me all right. We were having a little bit of breaking up before.
I can hear you fine. I hope you can hear
great.
Me.
I can hear you fine. Okay, great. You go, you know, the waves in the air, it always changes the internet.
Yeah, you know. I always like to think, oh, hey, a bird landed on the line.
There you
but
go.
That's not true. That's not true, but I think that's what it is.
So, you know, that song is called Punta Mita Time, but you reminded me today that you're in Puerto Vallarta time. You guys haven't changed your clock yet like we have.
Now, you know, I don't understand. The United States has to do it different than the rest of the world. Personally,
yeah.
I would like to see somebody, you know, pick a time, daylight savings or, you know, regular, and just go with it.
Just stick with it. Stop making that.
Yeah, just stick with one time. Don't be changing the time. Oh my gosh, when the time changes at the airport here, it is a disaster.
Oh, I bet.
Simply a disaster. People are like missing their flights, and okay, the reason, you know, that we changed time in the first place was like, you know, bazillion years ago, and you know. I think it had to do with farmers and stuff, but, you know, all that
yes,
changed now.
Yes, I think
now.
It had to do with farmers. Yep.
You know,
yep.
Come on. Yep, they all have, you know, headlights. They all have headlights now on their machines, so, you know, really?
Right. I'm
so,
with you.
You know, our energy reasons or something, you know, come on. You either turn on the lights in the morning or you turn on the lights at night. So, okay, so what? Just pick a time
energy.
And go with it.
I'm with
that's
you.
My personal opinion. I'm like, you know, either daylight savings time or regular time, and just stick with it and just be done.
Well, I'm glad that you remembered that we changed our time even before you changed yours so that we could synchronize.
I think we do next weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. So how are things down there? Are the winter visitors still there, or are some of them going home already?
Some are going home already. There are still, but there are so many people here. They're, you know, interested
oh, yeah.
in staying here. Well, yes, definitely a little longer, and Easter isn't yet. You know, that's kind of what plays the key here is Easter weekend, so...
Right.
But plenty
like
of retirees still here and, you know, don't want to go back, and they're staying here, so.
Yeah, they're enjoying the weather. You know, especially now that the weather's so crazy up north, there's been a lot of snow recently. So I'm sure retirees are enjoying the beautiful weather down there and don't want to leave.
Oh, no. It's been... This winter compared to other winters within the last 5 years, this winter has been fabulous. I mean, we've had temperatures during the day between 82 degrees, overnights around 60, and very low humidity, and it's just been fabulous.
Mm-hmm. And, yeah. And
so you
and
can't
that's
ask
so
for
nice.
Much more than that.
Yeah, not so nice up north. So the difference is pretty significant.
Mhm. Oh, for sure.
So what's going on down there with all everybody down there?
There are still a lot of charity events going on, so, you know, you can come down and participate in those. Everything from bingo nights to fashion shows to cocktail parties, everything. So, you know, you can get involved with the community that way. There's a group called Expats in Vallarta that has weekly events, several a week, everything from happy hours, coffee hours in the morning, different things like that. So you can, like, meet with other expats and learn, you know, what's going on. If you're interested in moving here, you know, asking questions mm-hmm. about healthcare. So there are those events as well. Wow. There's a bike festival, you know, biking event. There's a marathon coming up. There's live theater. So definitely a lot of stuff going on and continuing to go on because a lot of people, you know, yeah, there are snowbirds, but there are a good number of people who stay here year-round that, you know,
mm-hmm.
sold everything and moved to Mexico. So
mm-hmm.
they downsize their life and, you know, and those people are interested in contributing to the community, so they get involved in different things.
Right.
And people that move
right.
down here and are like, oh, I'm so bored. I'm like, how are you bored living here? Because there's so many things to do. You know,
yeah.
it's just a matter of you. Yeah, it's a matter of you as a person, you know, reaching out to other community members and, you know, finding what you like or what you support and then, you know, furthering that agenda.
Right. I mean, it sounds like from everything that you have talked about that people can find pretty much anything that they want to do there.
Oh, for sure. There's
if it's skiing or snow sports.
Right. It just kind of, it blows me away sometimes. Like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what to do? You know, have you been on the internet? Because, you know, get on the internet and find out what charities need help, what, you know, and then you can find what you want to help with or what groups you want to work with. And, you know, moving out from there, you know, whether you're interested, you know, improving yourself, like, you know, improving yourself, you know, and, you know, finding yoga or meditation or other things than that. And then from there, you know, working into a category of helping nonprofit organizations, you know, because you're retired, you have the time, you know, find
right,
out what you
right.
want to, you know, find yourself, find what you want to do, find people you want to work with. It
and there's
so
certainly a lot of
here.
So there's a lot of social activities going on.
There's mm-hmm. tons of social activities. It's, you know, once you get involved in the community, you know, with either nonprofits or, well, basically nonprofits, and meeting other people, and then you can branch into other, you know, groups. And Facebook is huge down here, and
mm-hmm.
you know.
Right,
that's
and if
a,
you
know,
said that.
And, quote, that's an old people kind of thing is Facebook, but huge down here. I'm friends with people I don't know, and when I finally meet somebody, oh, we're friends
right.
on Facebook, I follow you, and they know my whole itinerary, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's
right.
kind of scary. But at the same time, they're like, well, you know, it was because of you that I decided to volunteer with this organization. And I'm like,
uh-huh.
that's all it is about. You know, people
right.
are like, ah.
Right. Now, there's also
you know,
a lot of shows and entertainment as well, right?
Oh, yeah, and they are continuing throughout the summer. There's Act 2, there's Encanto, which is the new venue, the Palm,
mm-hmm.
and they go all year round. I mean, they may not have as many shows as they do during the winter season, but they still have a variety of shows because they realize that there are people that live here year-round that want to see different shows.
Right.
So.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Do you have a lot of spring breakers down there right now?
We don't. This is not a big spring breaker town.
Uh-huh.
We don't
well,
have the
good.
Big clubs.
Sure that,
we don't have, yeah.
I'm sure you're
it's
glad.
Not that. But the same time, we do have a lot of nonprofit organizations that work with the college students who come down to volunteer. So that is a big thing here. So they do have it's got a catchy name, and I can't remember it right now, but voluntourism.
Right.
So they work with, you know, different, you know, there's several organizations here that work with different universities that, you know, sponsor or help sponsor or elicit these trips from college students who want to come down to Puerto Vallarta and volunteer. So, yeah, there are some of those as well. So that's a great thing.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great thing. Mm-hmm.
So
I
college
think
students
really...
who go...
Go on.
Oh, college students that want to come down to volunteer it's a huge thing here. And they usually get, if they're coming down to volunteer, then all really they have to pay for is their plane ticket and then their housing, you know, room and board is paid for by the organization that they're volunteering with.
That's great. That's a great.
So if you're staying at somebody's house or at the facility, and then your room and board is paid. So, it's a great thing.
You get to go to Puerto Vallarta for practically for free.
Right.
That's wonderful. Yeah, and I think these days there are a lot of students who are now feeling like, you know, spring break going and drinking and, you know, underage drinking and all that, getting into trouble. Is it really worth
Oh, no, for sure. I mean, it's just, the kids that come down here are very active.
So, Laura, I know that we are running out of time pretty quickly, but I want to find out, are there places, if people are interested for next year, are there still places on the market?
There are definitely places on the market for rent and for sale. If people are interested in buying something, they can contact me, which would be Laura@BoardwalkRealtyPV.com. And so they can contact me. If they are interested in, you know, finding out what's going on in the area, they can check out BanderasNews.com, which is BanderasNews.com. And that's the only website in the Bay that's updated daily. So, you know, interested in news about, you know, Mexico, Banderas Bay, you know, Puerto Vallarta living around the Bay, they can check that out.
Mm-hmm. And all those great activities that are going on.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay, great. So I'm going to, of course, as I usually do, post that on my web post about this show. So people can take a look later, and it'll be there, and they can click on the link, and it'll take them right to that. Yeah, so thank you so much for coming on.
No
as
problem.
As usual. And enjoy paradise. Enjoy the view and all that is going on down there. And will you come back on in 2 weeks?
For sure.
All right. Okay, great. Evening.
Have a great evening.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. So we're going to take a brief break, and when we come back, we're going to be joined by video editor and singer Priscilla West. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Tribute to, I think, one of the most powerful artists, Juan Gabriel, who recently passed away. The song is in memory of him. It's actually one that he wrote. It's called Amor Eterno. Mm-hmm.
la tristeza de mis ojos que lloran en silencio por tu amor. Me miro en el espejo y veo en mi rostro el tiempo que he sufrido por tu adiós. Obligo a que te olvide el pensamiento, pues siempre estoy pensando en el ayer. Prefiero estar dormida que despierta de tanto que me duele que no estés. Como quisiera, ay, que tú vivieras, que tus ojitos jamás se hubieran cerrado nunca y estar mirándolo. Amor eterno, ay, inolvidable, tarde o temprano estaré contigo para seguir.
All right, and we are back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the beautiful voice of our next guest, who is now joining us on the phone from the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, video editor and singer Priscilla West. Good evening,
Hi.
Priscilla.
Hi. Hi. How are you?
I'm all right. Just to let you know, there's a slight delay when we talk like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, Priscilla, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
I'm from the Rio Grande Valley. I was born in Edinburgh, Texas, and I grew up. The first part of my life was actually here in the Rio Grande Valley, and then I lived most of my upbringing in Zapata, Texas, then I went off to college and went to school for video production in Dallas, and then I furthered my education at Texas A&M University for political science. And I don't know, I've just really embraced music all of my life, and I think it stems from growing up in Zapata. I've had educators there who really helped me hone my passion for singing music and storytelling, really.
Very nice. So I know that you're working right now as a video editor for our friend Rodrigo Rodriguez. Go on.
Well, yeah, I'm a video editor and a motion graphics editor for Rio Bravo Films, Rio Bravo Pictures now. We're transitioning into a name change to Rio Films. And I've been working with Rod's company for a short period of time now. And I'm actually so happy that I've had this opportunity to work with him, because I'm finally going back to what I'm really passionate about is storytelling. And I've noticed that Rod, that's his company, is all about storytelling and branding for business, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to actually be here and be able to finally get into that. For such a long time, I think my passion has always been wanting to be a part of being able to contribute my talents and my creativity to local business. And I've had experiences, well, many experiences in the past, and I think finally I've found my niche with Rod, yeah. And I'm just really grateful for this opportunity to work with him.
Mm-hmm. And are you also getting a chance to sing and perform?
Actually, no. No.
No, okay.
I guess I'm what you call like a closet singer, I guess.
Okay.
I sing for my friends and family on social media. But when I was in high school and growing up, music and singing was something I always felt some kind of a release, singing music. And I haven't, when I graduated from high school, I never really pursued that. But while I was in high school, that is the one thing that consumed me. That was everything that I was thinking about. And so I performed with our mariachi, which was Mariachi Halcón in Zapata, Texas. And even prior to that, I was always singing country music. And I, you know, I think music has always been something that I've always looked at as, I guess, a release or an escape in a way from, I guess, the insecurities and fears and all of these things that we go through when we become adults. Of course, I'm 34 years old, and you know, music has always been that thing that if I've had a bad day or if I'm insecure about something, I've always just turned on the radio or gone to, you know, Pandora, I guess, recently, and just listen to music that really touches my heart. And it helps me to feel a lot better. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, music is very healing. And actually, what you're talking about is really a pretty common reaction, you know, to listening to music that you enjoy really helps with all of what you just described. But you have a beautiful voice, so it would be wonderful to hear you sing some more. Can you tell us about the song that we just played?
Amor Eterno? Not too long ago, Juan Gabriel, he passed away. Even though my mother was born in Mexico and came into this country when she was 8 years old, you know, my entire family here in the valley, like, were Mexican American. And, you know, when we moved to Zapata, I didn't feel like I belonged. Like, here's this white girl, I mean, Priscilla West, like, my twin sister and my older sister. Like, my father was in and out of our life, and my mom, she's a single, she was a single parent. One day she said, I can't do it alone. So she reached out to my father, who acknowledged that we were here, and she said, okay, I'm here. And they met again, and all of a sudden it was all of us again. You know, my dad was back in our life, and it was me, my dad, my twin sister, my older sister Monica, who's 3 years older than us, and he's in the oil field, so he said we have to move to Lafayette, Louisiana. And I'm like, I'm thinking, I'm such a young girl. I think I was 7 or 8 years old at the time. I'm like, okay, I don't know what this is, but let's go. And so we moved to Lafayette, Louisiana, and we spent 1 year there. And then he said we had to move again, and so we moved to Zapata. Well, it was there that I met some new friends, and Trish and I, my twin sister and I, started getting into music there. And I had a teacher, Mr. Castañeda, who said, we were already in eighth grade at that time. He says, yeah, what about joining the mariachi? And I'm thinking, I'm a white girl. Like, I don't know Spanish. Like, what am I going to do in mariachi? And so I started listening to cassette tapes of different mariachi singers. And my mom brings me a cassette tape of Linda Ronstadt. It's Canciones de mi Padre. And I'm like, Linda Ronstadt. Okay. And, you know, Linda Ronstadt, okay, she's a white girl, but her father is of, you know, I guess Mexican descent. And she dedicates this whole album, I think she had two albums, that she dedicated to her ancestry from her father's side. And I thought, I was so inspired. I thought, here I am, I can do this. I can be a part of the mariachi. And so, oh, wow, the feeling was overwhelming. I was so excited. And so my mom had this cassette tape recorder and player, and I remember playing that cassette tape and then stopping it, rewinding it, and I had a notepad and a pen, and I would write the lyrics. Even though I didn't really know how to spell the words, I could hear them. And in all the diction that Linda Ronstadt, you know, every word that she said, I would play it and rewind it until I completely understood it. And I would go to my mom, is this the way you say it? Because my mom is very fluent, very fluent. And so, is this the way you say it? Yes. And so I would do it all in a notepad with my pen, and I would write every lyric down, and I would stop and rewind. So I remember was El Sueño. And I guess a little piece of that, this was my first mariachi song. It was El que me oiga mi cantar. Dirá que estoy muy contento. And I remember, like, just writing that down and just feeling like, oh my God, this touches me. I don't understand the lyrics right now, but this is beautiful. So I would do that with every song, and I memorized all the lyrics of every song, and I would sing to my mom, and then she would tell me, wait, you're saying this wrong. this is what they say in the song. And so
is this song Amor Entero one of those songs?
Amor Eterno? Oh, well, yeah, it's
is it one of the songs that you were
No, Amor Eterno. Well, Amor Eterno is from Juan Gabriel, and
okay.
I think of I feel like mariachi is okay. If I have to say it's a genre of music, yeah,
uh-huh.
It's telling a story. It's
mm-hmm.
you know, it's
mm-hmm.
a beautiful. You know, whether it's very emotional. I think one of the things that I love about mariachi music is that it tells a story from the heart, but it is emotional. And
mm-hmm.
the people, when you hear it, it will touch you and you will cry. Or if it's a song of joy, you will feel joyful or
mm-hmm.
whatever that emotion it triggers. You're going to
right.
feel, and I
you
think that's what I love it. About storytelling. Yeah.
So, is there any way that listeners can hear your music, your singing?
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, you know, I feel, you know, that I'm a, I came up with this term on my own, closet singer. But
uh-huh.
I sing on social media for my friends and family. But, yeah, I mean, on my Facebook, if you look me up, Priscilla Jean West,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm an open book. So if you
okay.
look up my profile, yeah, on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat, yeah, I'm there. YouTube. I have a YouTube channel, too. And that also
okay.
has – so my YouTube – I mean, Priscilla Jean West. If you look up Priscilla Jean West on YouTube or anything, yeah, who I am will pop up.
Okay, wonderful. So I'm going to post
yeah.
that on my web post about this program so people can hear more of your music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's mm-hmm. funny that you brought up Linda Ronstadt because when we were listening earlier, Art was saying she sounds just like Linda Ronstadt. She's the next Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You know, Linda Ronstadt also sang a lot of jazz, a little bit of blues, a little bit of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm.
I
right.
Like, yeah, that's
okay.
right up my alley. And
great.
I embrace all of that, yeah.
Great. Well, I hope we hear more of you.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
Now we're going to play a little piece of the other song that you sent us as we go off the air after I let everybody know what's coming up next week.
Mm-hmm.
So before we have to go, before we get cut off, can you just
okay.
tell me about that? It's Perfidia?
Oh, Perfidia, yeah. So that was actually a song that I had heard also from Linda Ronstadt. And
okay.
A couple of years ago, a year ago yesterday, I had, there are so many creative people here in the Valley. It's amazing. And
mm-hmm.
a part of me really wants to tap into that. And be able to tell people stories and be able to collaborate with people. I'm also a videographer in my career.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm an editor and motion graphics editor, but I love telling people stories. And so last year I met up with a couple of people and I said, why not use this song? And I'll sing it and record it, but let's use each other's talents and collaborate. We had a makeup artist come in, and behind the scenes photographer. Oh, Jonathan Montemayor was the photographer behind the scenes. I'm forgetting. Well, we'll put up the names of everybody because I got behind the scenes footage of everybody
oh.
contributing. Yeah, so we produced a music video, and it was everybody collaborating. Antonio Blanco did the graphics in the very beginning.
Okay.
Yeah, and we sang the song. Everybody contributed.
Where, is that a video that people can see?
Well, and also everybody contributed. I can't believe I'm forgetting everybody's names right now. I think that's unfortunate.
Well,
it's all there.
It's all there on the video.
It's all there. So you can see everyone's names. Yeah, it's Perfidia definitely was a beautiful song that from Linda Ronstadt that I sang. So that's what's next, I guess.
Great. So people can see that also on YouTube. Well, thank you so much for coming on the program. We're going to play that song
thank
on the
you.
Way out. But, good luck to you.
Yeah, thanks. It's just a, you know, right now, just a side thing that I do. But I'm very grateful for it. So.
Yeah. Well, keep doing it. Keep doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you have a good evening, and thanks for being on this program.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night.
Good night.
All right. So before we play that song as we go off the air, let me just let listeners know what's happening next week. We'll be back next Sunday, March the 26th, and we have another music filled program since we're here in Austin where the music festival is happening. The first guest will be Dr. Michael De Maria, who is a four-time Grammy-nominated recording artist and also an integrative psychologist, author, poet, and speaker. And he is a longtime yoga and meditation teacher, and he's going to be on the program from Florida to talk about his latest book, Peace Within, Clear Your Mind, Open Your Heart, Embrace Your Soul, and Heal Your Life. And he'll be talking about finding peace within. And also with South by Southwest in town, in addition to Dr. De Maria, who's also a musician, we have our friend and violinist, Johnny Arco, who happens to be in town for South by Southwest. And he'll be talking about his latest project and tell us where he's playing in Austin. And we'll be playing some of his new songs. And Jazz Foodist, Jan Leader, founder of Music Wellness, will join us once again from New York. And we'll be playing some of her original music. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from the show, get the website links, etc., from the program, this evening's program, or listen to the podcast, or read my blogs, learn about previous programs and listen to them, then go to my website. Everything is there, drmarakarpel.com, drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. And you can listen to this evening's program in as soon as 5 minutes from now by going directly to blogtalkradio.com/golden years. This show was produced by Compass Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psycho Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist Dr. Ronald DeVere and by Storyhouse. And special thanks to my guests, Dara Steinberg, Priscilla West, Laura Gilazunas, and of course, thank you to Art. And thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Hey, one, take two.
Okay.
All right, here we go. So I am going to...
Nadie comprende lo que sufro yo, tanto que ya no puedo sollozar. Solo, temblando de ansiedad estoy. Todo me miran y se van. To you lament, my dreams are faded like a broken melody.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.